Kingway, Fox, Beard, Locus, acting very weird. Captain Pike, Sisko's wife, Klingons and the afterlife. Boimler, Tendi's dog, Ransom is very hard. Spore Drive, Black Alert, Giorgio has gone berserk. Teacher, bad left, Edward is an idiot. Spock is dead, Worf is wed, Chekhov's wearing red. Data's cat, Kim Pak's that, Q has had enough of that. Beam me up, make it so, everybody let's go.
We talk about the series, you can join us live by picking up your phone now. We talk about the series, we're coming to you on your streaming services now. We talk about the series,
well, good evening. Around the globe, it's Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Coast time, and that means it's time for Trek Talkin'. Our phone number here is 646-668-2433. Let your fingers do the walking and give us a call right now. We'll get you on the air. We'd love to hear from you. What are we talking about tonight? Well, we're going to talk about the season finale of Strange New Worlds, A Quality of Mercy. And boy, was that a good one. Captain Pike meets Captain Kirk. Captain Pike meets Admiral Pike. Captain Pike meets the Romulans. He meets all kinds of people. We're going to break it down, and we're going to talk about it. So you definitely don't want to miss that. But we also have for you convention calendar, fan shout-outs, our Star Trek birthdays, and of course, Star Trek news as usual. So you want to stay tuned. Before we get too far into things, though, I just want to let you know that we have, 106,279 followers on our Facebook page. So thank you so much to each and every one of you guys for making that happen. And you can head over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/TrekTalkingAndBeyond. Spell that all out. Give us a like. Give us a follow. You'll never miss a show. Tell us where you're from, and maybe you will be mentioned in a future fan shout-out. So before we get too busy, let's introduce to you my Trexperts. And we have our trifecta from Portland. First off, we have David the Donut Guy. How you doing tonight, David?
Hey, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Great.
Can you hear us?
Great. Oh, yeah.
Did you bring enough donuts for everybody this time?
Unfortunately not. It's a little too warm out for me.
Oh, man. That's okay. We'll let you stay.
If they had
we'll
orders for donuts for order, I could probably totally order them, but no, they don't.
we'll let you stay this time. And we also have, hailing from Portland as well, we have with us our very own Paul the Wine Guy. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing okay, Uncle Jim. It's been a busy day and a crazy week, and I'm just finally sitting down. And I'll tell you, a glass of wine sounds like a really good idea right now because enough polishing of the Bussard collectors or whatever the hell else I've been assigned to do today. I'm done. I don't have any more tasks. I'm done. I just want to talk about crazy Star Trek.
Klingon blood wine and relax. Pretty simple.
Sounds good. All right, chill.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, rounding out our trifecta from Portland, with us as always, is our one and only Eric. How you doing tonight, Eric?
Hey, I'm doing great, except I'm a little jealous that Paul got the Bussard collectors. I got the holodecks, so I feel like I got the short end of the stick on that one.
At least I got outside. Not theoretically outside, but actually outside, so, you know. It's a hell of a view, big guy.
That's right. Ready to talk some Trek here, boys. Let's do it.
It's going to be fun. And let's round out all of my awesome Trek experts from Las Vegas, the one, the only, Charles. How you doing tonight, Charles?
I'm doing good. It's definitely summer weather because we're getting the monsoons today. It hit, I think, 108 today. Now it's somewhere in the 90s.
What?
Cloudy and might be raining outside. I can't quite tell.
Wow. Well, You know, it is what it is.
And lots of lightning. Yep.
It is what it is. I will tell you this, though. Almost
true.
You're not alone because yesterday at about 3:30 or 4 o'clock, I'm driving home from work, and all of a sudden, the sky just – it looked like someone just blocked out the sun. It got dark, like, in a few seconds. Flashes of lightning. The sky opened up. The rain was coming down so hard it was coming down sideways. The wind was blowing. Hail was bouncing off the car. I couldn't even see out the windshield because the windshield wipers couldn't flat fast enough to clear the windshield. And then about 5 minutes later, sky opened up, sun came out, and it was over. It was the weirdest thing. Totally
Thor
weird.
Thor came by.
It was Thor,
it was the
yeah.
weirdest thing. But how many weather events do you say that was the weirdest thing to these days? It's like at least 50% for me.
That is weird. That's weird. So
weird, man. Weird is regular.
Let's do some fan shout outs. How does that sound? Sound good?
Outstanding.
I think so. So listen, guys, if you would like to hear your name immortalized for all of eternity bouncing around space on these radio waves, all you have to do is go to our Facebook page, Talking and Beyond. Right at the top of the page, you'll see the Live Long and Prosper. And just drop in there and tell us where you're listening from. If you see a heart next to your name from yours truly, Uncle Jim, then you're going to be immortalized and you want to tune in for the next show so you can hear your name called off. And for that, we turn to Eric.
Yeah, Jim, our very first fan shout out tonight goes out to Renee Schellinger from West Zaan in the Netherlands. That's right. Right there in the middle of Europe. Renee is listening to us and carrying the Trek Talking Torch. We really appreciate you listening to us, and thank you so, so much for supporting Trek Talking. So hello to you. We just shift a little bit east, and we say, hey, Michael Eltsufin is over there in Israel listening to us. So, Michael, we're saying hello to you and Kapwa, and thank you very much for listening to us over there on in Israel. Lots of cool weather, I'm sure, this time of year. Lots of warm weather this time of year over there, I would assume. Well, and hello this week to Kaya Lovera down in Mexico. Sends us a little Mexican flag icon. So, Kaya, thank you very much for listening to us and for supporting Trek Talking. We're also saying hello to Zachariah Haladidi in Marseille, France. I understand they have some pretty fine wines over there. So, Zachariah, perhaps you partake on a regular basis, who knows. But Marseille is a place that I would like to go that I have never been. Paul, you've probably been to Marseille, haven't you?
In my dreams, baby.
Oh, man. So it's one of those.
I have not gotten
maybe,
there yet. I have not
maybe,
gotten there yet.
Badly. Maybe a future Trek Talking show from Marseille. We'll have to see Zachariah. We'll give you a buzz.
Just point me at it, man. I'm ready to hook up and we'll go meet our friend and let's do it. But that
go.
To me sounds great. I'll buy all the wine and cheese.
Love it. All right. We're also saying hello, last on my list, to Peter Yastrzemski over there in Canterbury, England, just across the pond. We have lots of folks who support us over there in the UK, and Canterbury is a fine area, I understand. Never been there myself. But, Peter, we're saying hello to you and sending out a big live long and prosper. Charles, speaking of live long and prosper, why doesn't Sub-Commander Charles take the torch from me now?
Let's start off with Tim Gabbert from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Top fan, Jason Carter from Quebec, Canada. Blake and Trophy Ketchum from Central Pennsylvania.
If your middle name is really Entropy, that is awesome, Blake. That's such a cool middle name.
Yeah, I did a head snap on that one myself, man. I'm
like
wow,
Entropy?
That's cool.
Ooh.
And something, the very first Star Trek book I ever read was The Entropy Effect.
Oh, sure, yeah.
First
yeah.
one. I
yeah.
want
that's a good
pharmacy there, and I saw it on the shelf, and I said, a Star Trek book, and I bought it. First one I ever bought and read. The Entropy.
That.
Yeah, I don't remember it, but I remember reading it. I don't remember what it was about, but I remember reading it.
I definitely remember the cover of that book, and it's funny, not to digress too much, but I'm reading an Ursula Le Guin book right now called The Lathe of Heaven, and she talks about how entropy is like the spice of life, because as long as there's life, there's always change, and change fuels life, and as soon as you don't have change anymore, you just have stagnation, and entropy stops, and the universe dies. So there you go. That's your big, heady topic.
Sounds like something Captain Kirk would say.
Yeah.
We have to fight, or there's no change. We're stagnation. Prime directive be damned. I'm going to make sure that our friend Blake helps us keep things going.
Thank you, Blake.
Okay. We've also got Terry Donda from Seattle, Washington, up above the Portland crew. And Jamie Flores from Chicago, Illinois.
Sweet home,
oh,
Chicago.
Oh, who's on your list?
Well, friends, it's a global fan community, and a lot of folks on various points of the compass and longitudes and latitudes have been tuning in and checking out Trek Talking, including Peter Schwirkmann from Unkel Rhineland-Palatine in Germany. Peter, I almost said Rhineland Palpatine there for a second, but that would be another franchise. I caught myself in time, so I don't want to, like, cause any chaos. I don't want to rattle anyone's dilithium crystals, do I? No. But, Peter, thank you for listening to us in that magical corner of the world. It is excellent to know you're out there. Moving a little bit over a couple of borders there, wonderful greetings from Fabio Liberani in Faenza in Italy, the wonderful region of Emilia Romagna. That is a place I am dying to go. There's so many good wines from Emilia Romagna. Oh my God. La Stoppa, Pignoletto, Vergentini, Sangiovese Brischella, Saccomatto. I mean, you name it, guys. It's just some fantastic wines there. So I don't know how you find time to check out Trek Talking, Fabio, with all the food and wine and cuisine of your region, but you certainly are balancing it all well. So here's to you. And then we're going to move ourselves down to the other end of the globe on the other part of the hemisphere, and a great hello to Link Pottinger in New Zealand. He doesn't say which, if he's on the North Island or the South Island there, Link, but wherever you are, I'm just grateful that you're out there listening to us. So thank you so much, my friend. And then we have to spin this globe. I'm going to get whiplash because we are going from one end of the equator to the other. We're back in Europe again. My goodness. We're back to Cork, Ireland, to Silas Greenbach, who's got his flag waving there in support of his lovely homeland and his enthusiasm for all things Star Trek. Absolutely fantastic. Rounding things off, in we're always talking about, oh, it's so hot. Oh, my goodness, what a hot day. But that's nothing compared to what our next guest experiences. Big shout-out, big kapla, big thank you for listening to Mike Pilas in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, my friend. You are living in paradise, man. And when you are also including Trek Talking in your paradise, things are just that much more idyllic and awesome. So all of you in your various corners of this magical globe, thanks for keeping the enthusiasm of Star Trek alive and for sharing it with us here on the show and the Facebook page. Jim, what you got going on over there, big guy? Who you want to say?
Well, I got a couple of people right here from New England, actually. First,
yeah.
We have Greg from Massachusetts, USA. And we have S. Anthony Green from Boston, Massachusetts. So they're digging into the baked beans while they're listening to Trek Talking. So thanks for listening to both of you guys. Blah. We have top fan Fabian Gallo from Buenos Aires, Argentina. We have another, actually, I got all top fans here. We got another top fan, Junior Nelson from Fresno, California. And last, but definitely not least, our final top fan, Kim Farnack from South Australia. G'day, mate. I wonder if Kim knows the dude.
I'm sure of it. I'm positive.
Got to.
She must. It can't, I mean, like, that region can't, I mean, it's only Australia. It can't be that big, right?
It's only a continent.
No, I mean.
It's more kangaroo. Leave it alone. Sorry. They all look alike, don't they?
As long as I live, I will never forget the dude calling from Australia.
I have to tell you that I am still hopeful that one of these days we will get him back, and literally this guy will call and he'll be like, I am the dude from Australia, and we'll just that will be one of the greatest days in track talking ever. It's going to happen, I'm telling you.
It will. Maybe Kim knows the dude and can have him call.
Yeah, please. Yeah, have him call.
Tell dude to call us so we can give dude the proper name that he needs.
We'd love to call you something other than dude, man, because you provide a lot of content for our show.
All right, guys. Well, that wraps up our first part of the show, but we have so much more. We've got Star Trek birthdays coming up. We've got some Star Trek news. We've got our convention calendar. So don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Hi there, this is Eric from Trek Talking. Do you own a business, produce a product, or are planning an event that would appeal to Star Trek fans? Would you like to harness the power of this podcast to get your message out to the world? We here at Trek Talking are a show made by fans for fans, and we would love to help you share your love of Star Trek on the air, live every Monday and Thursday night at 7:30 Eastern. Contact us through Facebook Messenger at facebook.com/trektalkingandbeyond, or email us using the contact link on our website at podpage.com/trek-talking. We can't wait to hear from you. Engage.
Don't miss Fandom Fest New York, featuring special guests, vendors, artists, esports, tabletop games, and so much more. Fandom Fest, a unique con experience at Proctor's, August 12th through 14th.
And that's going to be Proctor's New York, by the way, in Schenectady, New York, which we happened to mention on last week's show. And the reason why we mentioned that is because yours truly is going to be at that convention. So you guys can stop by if you're in the area. And say hello to yours truly, Uncle Jim. I'll be there. And the following week, I will be with Eric for the first time ever at Trekconderoga. So we got at both ends of the week there. So anyways, we're back. And it is. And we also have with us, by the way, someone we haven't had with in a while, but we're glad that she took the time out of her busy schedule to join us. We have our very own Shannon with us. How are you doing tonight, Shannon?
I am doing great. I'm your very own Shannon.
There is no other. There is only you.
Apparently.
That's
awesome. The only.
That's right. Part of the Star Trek family. So this is the part of the show, guys, where we do our Star Trek birthdays, and we've got some good ones tonight, to tell you the truth. We've got some really good ones, some really important ones, some really unique ones. So this is going to be a really fun Star Trek birthday segment. But before we do that, we have to hear from Grumpy Worf.
That was not a Klingon song.
And as I said earlier, our phone number here is 646-668-2433. Put that in speed dialing. Let your fingers do the walking and give us a call. So we always start out our Star Trek birthdays remembering those members of our Star Trek family who, sadly enough, are no longer with us. And for that, we turn to Eric.
Yeah, Jim, this week we have quite a few remembrances. It's that midsummer thing. So our first remembrance is going out to Lisa Baines, who, of course, played Dr. Renhoy in DS9's episode Equilibrium, a very excellent Dax episode, in my opinion. Lisa was also known for many guest appearances, including Murder, She Wrote, Spencer for Hire, Frasier, 6 Feet Under, all of those great shows from the mid-80s. So happy birthday to Lisa Baines. We're also saying happy birthday this week to Ron Glass, whose Star Trek credit includes Loken on Voyager's Nightingale. But Ron Glass is known at least for two other franchises, major franchises as well. He was known as Detective Ron Harris on Barney Miller from 1975 through 1982. And whenever I hear book, I still split my brain because I see Discovery and I see Shepherd Book from Firefly from the early 2000s. Fantastic character, fantastic series. Of course, many of us believe deserves many, many more seasons, I would assume Paul included.
He's just he's the heart of that show in many,
so
many
good.
Ways, right? I mean, he's just a Shepherd Book is just amazing
Literally.
Character. I still run into people all the time, you know, big, big science fiction fans who are like, I never watched Firefly, right? And I'm just like, oh, my God.
Whoa.
You are like, I'm jealous because it's like they still have that experience of discovering those characters in front of them. I'm like, man, I'd love to watch that for the first time again because it was such a treat.
Absolutely.
Can I make a confession here?
Yeah.
I'm going to date myself. I was at the video store one day. It was Blockbuster. Yeah, that's how long ago. I walk into Blockbuster Video with the wife, and I see up on the video shelf this brand new release. And I go, and I said, that looks interesting. It was Firefly the movie.
Serenity.
It wasn't called Serenity, yeah.
Serenity,
yeah. I rented it and said, that looks interesting. And I went home and watched it. And I said, that was really cool. Well, Firefly came and went so quick, I never even knew it was a TV show, actually.
Uh-huh.
It kind of flew right by, got canceled, and it was gone. So I watched Serenity, and I said, wow. And then I went back, and I found Firefly, and I watched the whole series, and I don't know why they canceled it. I really
good
don't.
Stuff.
Fox
really
mentality,
good.
Man. Fox, they're the ones who did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can I'm after you, Jim. Because I was actually at Star Trek for New York Comic Con, and Nathan Fillion, and they were all there. My kids are like, you haven't watched Firefly? I'm like, no. So we had to watch it the next week. So this would have been way more recently than that. So.
It was enjoyable. I liked it.
Summer
Glau is in it too, which she's awesome. So,
if you need something to tide you over, there are some great comics that feature Firefly characters. So go check those out. But hopefully one day we'll all get what the show actually deserves. So including Mr. Ron Glass, but man, part of that show. Totally integral. I couldn't get the words out. Totally integral part of that show. So moving along, happy birthday as well to Edward Wiley. Edward Wiley had a couple of different appearances on Star Trek. He played Governor Vogg in TNG's episode, The Mind's Eye. And he also played a very excellent Cardassian in Gull Torun in the Deep Space Nine episode, Profit and Loss. Edward Wiley was also, way back in the day in 1981, made his film debut in, guess what? Chariots of Fire, another fantastic movie. So Edward Wiley would have had a birthday this week. We're also saying happy birthday to Keith Andes, who was one of the many orange-faced folks. He played Akuta in TOS's episode The Apple. Interesting episode. He was actually in the U.S. Army Corps in World War II. So and actually has a connection to Lucille Ball. You should go check out. There's some cool trivia related to Keith Andes out there. So happy birthday, Keith Andes. Stephen Marlowe would have had a birthday this week. He played the gangster Zabo in TOS's episode, A Piece of the Action, an episode that we love to talk about. Stephen Marlowe also appeared in such television series as Ben Casey, Combat Bonanza, and Mission Impossible, and also Land of the Giants, which we've talked about a little bit on the show. So happy birthday to Stephen Marlowe. We're also saying happy birthday this week to Frank Corsettino, who played a few Ferengi, but most notably Daemon Bach in TNG's episode The Battle. Just like, if you're going to talk about good Ferengi episodes, I think that's one of the ones. I just dig that episode quite a bit. He actually played three different Ferengi characters over the years. And he actually played a character on Star Trek Voyager as well, Gagus, on the episode Inside Man. So happy birthday to Frank Corsettino.
That's a lot of bad Ferengi teeth, man, I'll tell you.
Wow.
It is.
If you've got many bad teeth. Yeah, if you've got a character that you nail, you know, why not keep casting the guy? And if you know, he's like a lot of those guys who play Ferengi. When you look at him, you're like, oh, yeah, I can totally see how he can play a Ferengi, you know?
Exactly. They're like, Frank will wear the makeup. He'll come in at 3 a.m. to get that put on. Let's hire him again. No one will know.
That's right. All right. Well, Frank, we miss you, buddy. Daemon Bach was a great character. So happy birthday to Frank Corsettino. Also saying happy birthday this week to Peter Durea, who played good old Lieutenant Jose Tyler, the blondest, most red hair Jose you'll probably ever know from TOS's episode The Cage. You know, he was originally expecting an ongoing role after The Cage. And of course, you know, when the network didn't pick up the show till later, his character was eliminated, and he was kind of disappointed about that. There are some excellent even essays out there about his character and the fact that he's named Jose. So I encourage you to go out there and check him out. Peter Durea would have had a birthday this week, and The Cage is a very excellent episode that if you haven't seen it, you should go see it, because that's our prototype for Strange New Worlds Pike. Also, another fantastic actor, Sid Haig, would have had a birthday this week. His connection to Star Trek is through Return of the Archons, where he played the first lawgiver. But I will bet you that Paul has some backup for this guy. I mean, I know him.
Dude, genre
like,
guy like there's no tomorrow, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if most recently modern horror fans know him from, like, you know, as Captain Spaulding, right? From like The Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses. But
Rob
this guy's stuff. Been like a big brooding, you know, bad guy, quote unquote, in for, you know, 50 years practically. I mean, he was in Kill Bill. He was in Bond movies, Diamonds Are Forever. I mean, he's in everything, this guy. I mean, you just name it. You'd always see him on like TV, like back in the day, like with the Fall guy or Fantasy Island, right? You know, you big, a scary guy who was vaguely Armenian looking on TJ Hooker or the Dukes of Hazzard. You're going to call Sid, you know? I mean, that's just how it works. Absolutely indelible character, though.
And he was on that with James Doohan.
Mm-hmm.
He was the big guy on that. He was on Buck Rogers. He was in the Day of the Hawk, which was the first episode of season two when they entered Hawkman. If you saw his face, you'd know him.
And Return of the Archons, man, that's a great episode. It's just really right. It's just too bad we're about to be living it in a couple of years. That's about the only thing I have against it. But other than that, it's great.
It's true. It's true. And you guys, just thank you for pulling out all those Sid Haig references. I knew that you would have those. And go look him up, guys. Would have had a birthday this week. So happy birthday, Sid. We're also saying happy birthday to another Star Trek heavy hitter. This one has played more parts than you would believe. Gregory Eatson, most notably known as Admiral Black from Enterprise. But he's been in Star Trek on five separate occasions. He was in the DS9 episode Dax as Elone Tandro. He was in the DS9 episode Who Mourns for Morn as Hayne. He was in the Voyager episode Critical Care as Dysek. He was also in the Enterprise episode Shadows of Pajem as, guess who? A Vulcan Sopek, that's right. And then Admiral Black from the Mirror Universe, we love him as well from Enterprise. So great character. I love his just like his look and the way, in particular, that he plays Black, even though, you know, Black sort of gets conned and killed, of course, by stupid Mirror Archer. But That aside, Gregory did an excellent job playing that part, so happy birthday to him. And our very last remembrance this week goes out to Robert H. Justman, who you guys all know, but, man, for anybody who doesn't know out there, he is the guy. He's like – there's like Roddenberry, and then there's Bob Justman just below him. You know, he's considered one of the most influential just staffers responsible for the creation of Star Trek. He goes way, way back to the beginning. There's this great quote from Leonard Nimoy who says, "Bob Justman was a treasure to me. He would listen wisely with an honest ear and respond helpfully whenever there were creative differences of opinion." So that tells you a lot about the type of guy that Bob Justman was, and what he tried to bring to the Star Trek franchise, a little bit of that idic I'd like to think. Do you guys want to say anything about Bob Justman?
Just he was a legend, man. A freaking legend,
yeah.
That guy. We wouldn't have Star Trek if not for him. I mean, we wouldn't.
Yeah, it's true. So he goes all the way back to the first pilot, The Cage. He was supposed to be the associate producer back then, but he rejected it. He rejected the opportunity way back then. And handed it off, of course, to Byron Haskin, and then eventually would be brought back when Star Trek got started in earnest. So happy birthday to legend Bob H. Justman, famous producer for Star Trek. All right. That is a lot of remembrances, guys, but I'm sure that Charles would like to kick off the party with those of us in our Star Trek community who are still with us.
I sure will. Marco Rodriguez played Captain Paul Rice in TNG's Arsenal of Freedmen. Also played Glenn Tell in TNG's The Wounded. A lot of actors couldn't keep up with all their IMDb's. So I thought Marco was interesting. Played a lot of bad guys, but also appeared in both MacGyvers, the original and the remake. Catherine Moffat played Keaton Jow in TNG's The Game and Vitriptic Tara in DS9's Necessity Evil. And ironically, while she was doing that TNG episode, she was also playing in the new WKRP in Cincinnati. Didn't realize they had remade that series, but she was doing that at the same time. She also spent time with another Star Trek legend. She also appeared in T.J. Hooker. And we know who she was playing with on that show, playing against on that show.
Wait, did you just woohoo T.J. Hooker, Paul?
I had to, man. Come on. Everyone's always like, "Oh, The Dukes of Hazzard was a great TV show," and I'm like, "Oh, come on, T.J. Hooker, baby, it was great. Really got a chance for Shatner to show those acting chops of his post Star Trek, and really get the hairdressers working really hard. Get that hair underneath that officer's cap, damn it. Sorry."
Lori Howler played Dr. Riley Fraser in Boys Unity. Robert Kip Nettinger played Wyatt Miller in TNG's Haven and Gal in Boys Dragon Teeth. He's got over 145 credits to his name of all kinds of series. Linda Park played Lieutenant Hoshi in Enterprise.
Yay.
That's Empress Hoshi.
Yes, Empress Hoshi, yep.
And Empress Hoshi. And in this one, this guy, I think you just got to look up online his IMDb and scan through his 500 credited roles in most in acting and voice in the past 30 years. I'm looking through his stuff, like, let me see. He was working with shows that air on Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, I think Fox's stuff, Disney stuff. It was just hard to go through all of it. He even showed up in a Weird Al Yankovic video.
Yeah.
Kenny, known as Quip, and about six other roles in Lower Decks. And then I think Jim just happens to love his probably most well-known character, not caring that he was the mayor of the Powerpuff Girls, but he also happens to be SpongeBob.
Yep. He lives in a pineapple under the sea.
Yeah, but he's one actor who can say he was in both Star Trek and Star Wars animated features, and his credits are just pages. So after somebody like that and SpongeBob, Paul, who do you have going up against SpongeBob?
Well, my friends, let's start off with a man named Smithers, and I'm not talking about Homer Simpson's neighbor, okay? I really don't think so. We're talking about William Smithers, okay? Amazing character actor who Star Trek fans know from original series episode Bread and Circuses, where he played one of those, you know, I don't know if I'm alone here, but I got a real thing for the evil Star Trek guys who go wrong, right?
Yeah.
You know, like Omega Glory, and I was a captain, but then I went insane and I turned bad and I did all these terrible things and I kind of went native, right? And he became Merrickus instead of Captain Merrick, right? And he's like, you know, he's basically defied the prime directive. This is not an academy training test, Jim. This is real. They're taking you to die. I mean, he was just great, man. So one of those dudes, though, who was just in a million shows, right? He was in the great movie Papillon with Steve McQueen. He was on Quincy M.E., Barnaby Jones, Executive Suite, Cannon, The $6 Million Man. I could go on and on and on and on, but tremendous actor, did a ton of stuff. I think most recently Walker, Texas Ranger. I hope you're enjoying your fine retirement, sir, because you are an indelible actor, and we're thrilled that you're part of the Star Trek universe. Also, moving on, great happy birthday to Lawrence Pressman. Lawrence Pressman, numerous roles here, Leggett Tekkene on DS9, Second Skin and Ties of Blood, and Changeling Tekkene on DS9's episode The Adversary. Happy birthday, Lawrence. What's that?
I said spoiler alert.
Well, you know, at this point, you know, I mean, I guess we could still give it a little bit, but you know, those changelings, you know, you don't know what they're going to do. You're going to be careful. Moving over to TNG, we got a couple of excellent birthdays here. Felicitations to Susan Powell, who played Lieutenant Marla Astor on the next-gen episode The Bonding. Happy birthday to Megan Parlin, who played a delightful role, the young Ro Laren, in that really, I think, a terrific next-gen episode Rascals, right? Everyone's reduced down to childhood size. I think we've all wished that we could be reduced down to childhood size. Some of us are permanently frozen in that state mentally, and I don't plan on leaving anytime soon. But young Ro Laren, Megan Parlin, great job. Happy birthday. I'm excited about this next birthday, wherever you are, brother. You're having a great one. But the legendary Bruce McGill, who played Captain Braxton on a Voyager episode, Relativity. Eric, if I say to you Daniel Simpson Day, who am I talking about?
Daniel Simpson Day?
Simpson Day has no great point average.
Yeah, isn't that the guy? He's from National Lampoon's Animal House, if I remember right.
That's exactly, man. D-Day.
That's right.
D-Day. With the fingerless gloves and the motorcycle.
Yeah,
Bruce McGill, man. And that cat has been on, like, everything, man. He is so prolific. It's amazing that he was on Star Trek as well, but I think he's still working a ton, I believe. But I'll always think of him as Animal House, man, because I just can't help myself. Absolutely.
His face
yeah.
is just like Animal House.
Yeah, I think I think he was on Reacher recently and just tons and tons of stuff, though. But it's just like he's one of those cats that's just never not working. One of those faces you just immediately recognize. And when he gets intense, you pay attention, man. He's great on camera. he's awesome. I love that guy. He's really cool. He can play a really good guy and a really scary bad guy. So happy birthday, Bruce McGill. We love you, man. We're glad you're part of the Star Trek universe. And finally, yes, everyone's like, finally, Paul, for crying out loud, shut up. But happy birthday and many more to Robert Pine. Robert Pine on Voyager's episode The Shoot played Lyria. And Captain Tavin on Enterprise episode Fusion. And I believe he's also Chris Pine's father and has something to do with chips, but I don't know what because my notes are a little blurry because I'm old.
He's the captain dude. He's the dude who's like Eric Estrada's like boss.
All right. You're talking about the old show Chips, right?
Yeah, yes.
All right. Well, I freely admit to watching T.J. Hooker. I admit to watching T.J. Hooker all the time, right, because it was William Shatner. I think I hold the land speed record for being able to switch the channel fastest than any other human when Chips came on. So I've actually never watched an episode.
Did you know that Chips are real? Did you know that?
I'm sure they are. Yeah. You know,
here's
why, right? You know, because you know what I wanted that wasn't Chips? I wanted Electric Glide in Blue, man. That was the motorcycle cop movie that of all motorcycle cop stories forever with Robert Blake, man. Electric Glide in Blue. Chips just seems like this not so, you know, robust in comparison, right? Because Electric Glide in Blue
like
is like a
hazard on motorcycles. Come on.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Electric Glide in Blue is like a Scorsese movie almost. It's just great.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally
apples and oranges.
Fun, man. Yeah. But so, but is he Chris Pine's father? Is that Robert Pine? The Robert Pine?
Yeah.
Is that the
That's
connection?
The Robert Pine, yeah.
That's awesome. I just take a while for the other shoe of recognition to drop there, friends. But some amazing performers. It's so fun to think about all these careers of all these different actors who've done all this work. And when they have in common, they don't realize it. They're like, oh, I'm going out on audition. And you get a job on Star Trek. You're forever part of Star Trek. And you'll be going to cons and you'll be signing photographs and you'll be having people call you by the names of characters you can't even remember that you played 20 years ago. It's crazy. But we love them all, don't we, Jim?
We do. And we're not done. We're not done, but I don't have as many as you guys, but I've got some good ones. So I've got some really good ones, and I've got some legendary ones. So this is a tough list. So the first one we want to say, happy birthday to Pamela Alden, who played Ouija in TNG's Who Watches the Watchers. And I think that's Ouija because it's spelled like a Ouija board. O-J-I, Ouija.
O-G.
Right?
It's O-G.
It's O-G, yeah. Yeah, that's a great episode. Like, that's one of those episodes where you really get that like prime directive sense, and it's early on in TNG.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Top 10 for me, man. It's a great episode.
It's really right up there. Yeah,
really, really wonderful.
And the next one, we want to say happy birthday to Kim Darby, who played Miri in the TOS episode. Miri, and if you're like me and you're a horror fan, though. I went to the movies in 1996, and I'm watching Michael Myers, The Curse of Michael Myers. And who shows up gets butchered by Michael Myers? Kim Darby.
And, dude, True Grit. She was in True Grit with John Wayne.
She's
amazing. She's amazing.
To Kim Darby. And the last on my list is Conrad Coates, who played Admiral Terrell. And Discovery. I don't think he was an evil. I think he's one of the admirals that Control wasted at the end of season 2, I believe.
He is. He actually never went bad. I always thought that he was kind of good. And he was a guy who was just, I think, making the best decisions that he could make given the data presented to him. And as a Vulcan, you know, what else he going to do?
Yeah, that's what we have stuck there. So I always do the Klingons last. And here's where my list gets a little bit, I don't know who to do next, who to do last, but we're going to do the Klingon. Shahzad Latif, who played who? Ash Tyler, Volk, and Discovery. Absolutely. Hopefully we see him back with Michelle Yeoh in Section 31, because Michelle Yeoh can kick you in the face standing behind her. Love her. Want to see her back. So, kapla. But the biggest one on my list is Mr. P. Stewart himself. And what hasn't he been in? Dune, Life Force, Excalibur, the X-Men, Logan. Wow. He's been in everything, Patrick Stewart. And he happens to share a birthday with Han Solo, Harrison Ford. Happy birthday. So Indiana Jones and Patch and Captain Picard have the same birthday. Is that not the coolest thing ever?
That's pretty cool, man.
It's pretty darn cool.
So
82 years young, I believe, Lord Stewart.
Patrick Stewart, yeah, P. Stewart.
When you said P. Stewart, I had no idea what you're talking about there. I was
like
who is
this guy?
Sir Patrick Stewart. That's
well,
what they call him.
I mean, he's, of course, known for all of his, like, acting chops and stuff, but I don't know. I get the sense that he's kind of, like, a decent human being, too. Like, I like the way he thinks. You know, he's a little edgy, kind of behind the scenes, which I sort of like. There's a lot about the guy that I like. If there was a guy in the Star Trek universe that I hadn't met yet that I would want to meet, it would definitely be this guy.
Well, I got to tell you, there's an honorable mention here. And he's getting an honorable mention because of our Monday show where we talked about the Gorn. And today happens to be Stanton's birthday. Paul, jump in here. Why am I mentioning him today?
Why are you mentioning him today?
Yeah, why am I mentioning him even at all? He wasn't in
Star
Trek.
Harry Dean Stanton's a legendary actor, right? I mean, he's phenomenal.
But he was in a particular movie with a particular scene that everybody knows.
He's talking about Alien?
I'm talking about Alien, that's right.
Okay, yeah. I don't think Harry Dean Stanton was in a Star Trek episode, so
no,
you were kind of messing with me there.
Nope, he was, well, kind of, because the Gorn burst out of people now. They took it from Alien.
Okay,
and
now
so,
I'm following you. Absolutely, yeah. Harry Dean Stanton, man, it's just like, we don't have enough time to cover that guy. I mean, he's just,
no.
You know, Paris, Texas, I think, you know, for everybody, though, he's one of the engineers on the Nostromo, man. Right?
Yep.
Right. You know, he's like, when it was still, you could still have guys smoking cigarettes in space.
Right.
Right? Engineer Brett, you know, we're not working until we get full shares. So, you know, legendary cat, man. I mean, absolutely amazing. But wait a second, dude. Isn't there somebody else who had a birthday recently that's even closer to all of our hearts or our firmament? Am I losing my mind?
No, this is where the list gets, like I told you, there were some legendary people on this list. Did I not tell you that at the top of the show? You know, we've had Patrick Stewart, we've had Harrison Ford, Harry Dean Stanton, Robert Pine. I mean, we've done the gambit. We've had them all. But wait, there's one more. I know you guys are thinking, wow, who could top that, possibly top that? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I have my right-hand man, of course, in Charles. I have my left-hand man in Eric. Without Eric and Charles, there's no Trek talking. We're the team that gels together. And Eric, of course, is one of the pillars of that team. And, of course, we have to say happy birthday to the one and only Eric. And you know what that means, don't you? That means, that means we have to hear from Weird Al. Where did Weird Al go? He ran away from me. I pushed play and he said, sing that song right now. And Weird Al ran away. Where did he go? Get back here, Weird Al. Oh, man. This thing went crazy on me. I pushed play and Weird Al said, no, I'm not going to do anything with you right now. And he ran away. Where did he go? Get back here, you. There he is.
Well, there's a punk in the alley and he's looking for a fight. There's an Arab on the corner buying everything in sight. There's a mother in the ghetto with another knife. Seems that everywhere you look today there's misery and greed. I guess you know the earth is gonna crash into the sun, but that's no reason why we shouldn't have a little fun. So if you think it's scary, if it's more than you can take, just blow out the candles and have a piece of cake. Happy birthday!
Now, I know it seems like Eric's always been here, but he really hasn't. He came along a couple years ago, I believe, three or four?
Well, at this point, Jim, it's like 4.5 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, you can go back. I wrote down my first episode, but it was one where we were reviewing the Romulan faction pack from Star Trek Attack Wing. So it was like, I don't know, like December of 2017, something like that.
Wow. Time flies, doesn't it?
I am having fun, and yes, therefore it is. I just so much appreciate that. I appreciate all of you. I appreciate having David and Shannon and Paul and Charles and everybody on the line today. Uh-huh. I love you guys, and I love that there are nerds here who want to talk about Star Trek with me. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to me. Thank you so much for being my friends.
And with that, we have to do our convention calendar, but first we have a very quick commercial break. Why isn't this thing working?
Don't miss Fandom Fest New York, featuring special guests, vendors, artists, esports, tabletop games, and so much more. Fandom Fest, a unique con experience at Proctor's, August 12th through 14th.
And
I don't know if that announcer is enthusiastic enough.
I feel like he's
he's
had 75 triple shots of espresso right before he recorded that promo. He's just like, he is amped.
We're going to have that guy on the podcast next week, by the way.
Nice.
Eric.
Man, he's got it going on. I can't wait.
It.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. I'm gonna get to meet the guy from They Live. I'm excited about that. Anyways, guys, it's time for convention.
Convention calendar. Here we are. All right, let's kick off convention calendar. We've got the Dallas Comic Show, August 12th through the 13th at Music City Mall, Louisville in Louisville, Texas. We're also going to be checking out Abu Dhabi 2022 that's August 12th through the 14th at NH Koningshof at Veldhoven in the Netherlands. So go check out a sweet convention in Veldhoven there. Anna Knight, August 12th through the 14th at Event Hotel Pyramid in Wüstendorf, Austria.
So sweet. I'm still there, man.
Another fantastic place to go. Maybe pick up a little good food, a little good wine. Wüstendorf.
At the Event Hotel.
Pretty amazing. Paul, where else should we travel this week?
Well, you know, we do like spinning that compass needle all over the place, right? And I love this first one. I'm super excited about it. All these conventions coming up here are all the week of August 12th through 14th. So you got mid-August. You still got time to buy plane fare. Just don't bring anything other than carry-on, if you know what I'm saying, travelers. But first of all, I'm super excited for this one. Argentina Fur Fiesta 2022 in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Now, I don't know I've heard that there's a thing in fandom called the furry, okay? And I don't know if Fur Fiesta is about that particular corner of the fan community, but I am dying to find out. So I'm not sure. All I know is it's at the Abasto Hotel in Buenos Aires, not the Asbestos Hotel in Buenos Aires. That's across the street. So don't inadvertently go there by mistake. The Abasto Hotel in Buenos Aires for Argentina Fur Fiesta 2022. What happens in Buenos Aires stays in Buenos Aires. You got me? Then we kind of come back over to more northern climes, and we're back in Boston again at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center, again, August 12th through 14th for Fan Expo Boston 2022. And then if you're sort of landlocked with no ocean nearby, you might find yourself in Columbus, Ohio And you might want to go to the Hyatt Regency Columbus, in the part of the Greater Columbus Convention Center, August 12th through 14th for MatsuriCon. That sounds like it's going to be ripe with all kinds of anime stuff. I hope so. Or Transformers, perhaps. That MatsuriCon kind of evokes all kinds of feudal Japan, exciting geek stuff to me. I love it. Sounds great. So there's three really exciting different cons, all different parts of the globe you can go to, where I am under no doubt that there will be bountiful air conditioning in all those mid-August cons. So it's a great way to beat the heat, rub elbows with fellow fans, and celebrate Star Trek amidst all that stuff. Charles, what do you got going on there in crazy Vegas, baby?
Well, let's stick with the same weekend. Let's try Monster Mania in the Crown Plaza, Philadelphia, Cherry Hill, and Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Woohoo!
Supernatural Official Convention, Washington, D.C. at the Crystal Gateway Marriott, Arlington, Virginia. Gee, I think they must be wanting to talk about Supernatural that weekend.
Maybe.
Or you can go up a little bit to Wellsboro Comic-Con in Dean Center Performing Arts in Willsboro, Pennsylvania. David, how about finishing us off?
Yeah, I got a couple of ones that are a little later in August. I got one in Stockton, California, from August 13th to the 14th, called Stockton Con Summer. Another one is Madison Comic Con, August 14th, over at Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center in Madison, Wisconsin. And final, last one, would be Emerald City Comic Con, from August 18th to the 21st, over in Seattle, Washington, at the Washington State Convention Center. And that's all for me.
And Shannon, you're on the line, and I hear you might be making an appearance at a convention as well. You want to talk about it a little bit?
Sure. I actually am going to be speaking at the Star Trek convention in Vegas, you know, which we always called STLV. That's not what it's called this year. It's the 55th year mission, but it is from the 26th to the 28th, I think, because my date might be a little off, but I know the 28th is the Sunday, and I am speaking on the Sunday. That's why I know that date. And they just sent me two passes because I'm a speaker. I'm like, ooh, cool. So, and I get my money back for my ticket. But so if anybody wants to come to Star Trek Vegas, and if anybody who's not come, it's a lot of fun. You see the same people every year. You're close friends, 3,000 people you see every year. Okay.
What's your topic? What are you speaking on?
Well, last time I did Star Trek and the Law, but this time I'm speaking about what is sentient.
Oh.
Like, what is a sentient being? But the thing is, I'm no NASA scientist, but all the NASA scientists I know that are going to speak with me, they're all at some NASA convention that weekend. Like, really? So now I'm trying to find a scientist to do it with me. But either way, because I mean, I've done it without scientists, but I think it would make more sense for a lawyer and a scientist to talk about.
Find that cat at Google who said that their AI had become sentient. That guy is probably looking to do an interview, man.
There you go.
That's pretty
true.
Wild.
A very timely
topic, my friend. That's great.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Thank you.
People will be very interested in that. That's great.
Yeah,
well,
probably won't be first thing Sunday morning because people will be drunk and hungover. So. But that's okay.
We've got a caller online here, guys. Yeah, let's see if I can get my keys and my board is acting up today. Hey, good evening. Thank you for calling Trek Talk. And what's your name and where are you calling us from tonight?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
This is Ray. How you doing, guys?
What's up,
hey,
Ray?
Hey, how you doing, Ray?
I've always been a while, my friend. I've just been busy.
That's okay. We understand.
Yeah, I'm drawing my kids and everything else. I put it this way. And, like, you know, the episode of Torture Sergeant Legacy, right? tomorrow. Okay, so I'm going to bake at you and I'll get the beer. Yes. So I'm in the game right now. The rest of the game, I'm in the game right now.
Really? That's cool.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's excellent.
I had to, man. So I've been, catching up with this damn game and everything else. I've been catching up with everything else. So I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. That's what I was going to say. You know, since school's over for me, I'm on my break and everything else. I'm enjoying my break, man. Hey, about you.
Pardon? So I ask you, who's going to win next week, the Yankees or the Mets?
Oh, please.
That's going to be hard.
That means
my money's going to pass for this. And you know what that means? It's going to be like a 7-week series.
Yep.
But it's more worse.
They're only playing two games, though, unfortunately. But
I see them on TV, but I never actually went to it. Because every time I try to go to it, it'll be sold out. Other times, it'll be sold out.
So living in the Bronx, who are you rooting for? The Mets, of course, right?
Hell no! you ask that question again, Uncle Jimmy. Oh my God, you gotta be kidding me! Ask that question again?
It's gonna be.
Ask that question again.
I've been watching Subway Series for years, and every year when the Mets play the Yankees, the Mets are in first place, and the Mets are so far behind. But this year it's different. Mets are in first place when they're playing the Yankees, so I don't think it's going to be like it is every other year. We'll have to wait and see, buddy.
Put it this way. I'm not a gambling man. I don't gamble on these games because I don't do that. You know what I do? It's for fun for my family. You know what I'm saying? It's a fun thing. That's what it's about. But you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But in the day, I enjoy myself with this one. That's how I do it.
It's going to be fun. That's what I got to say. It's going to be fun.
Right. And Jim, before I go, can I ask you one question, please, before I go?
Absolutely. Shoot, Ray.
If I call my daughter the Twin Wars, right? Who is this guy trying to be like Captain Kirk? I mean, without you, it's like, what is that? What's some of that?
Well, he's actually he's from the vampire. He's actually a vampire. he's Paul Wesley from the Vampire Diaries. Actually,
it took me to make him realize this. Cause I think he looked for me. He made me realize this, and they said thank you, Gonju. I'm hoping the second season of this will be. You know what? I know it's a cliffhanger, but I hope the second season is going to be crazy. I hope so. Like I said, there's two. I mean, even though they did 10 episodes, but aren't you? It's kind of good.
Absolutely, and
it's kind
of
good.
We're going to see more of Paul Wesley as Captain Kirk next season, and hopefully he'll play a more familiar version of Captain Kirk than he played.
Yeah, we're in China, right?
Yep.
Also.
Well, I really, I love hearing for you, but I really appreciate you giving us a call. And next week, when the Mets and the Yankees play, I'll be watching and I'll be thinking of you.
Go, Mets. And I'll be calling you, too. You take care. Enjoy your night.
Yep, you too, Ray. Have a good night. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Anytime, Uncle Jim. I'll see you guys later.
Right,
enjoy. And be blessed.
Later. You too.
Later.
All right, guys. That was Ray from the Bronx, and guess what? It's time for
Priority One message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Incoming transmission.
Enter authorization code.
Command codes verified.
Define parameters of program.
Level 9 authorization required.
Specify parameters.
K
Transfer of data is complete.
Black alert. Black alert.
All right, guys, we're going to start off with this. Lower Decks theme song. And this is the first, our first Thursday in 49 weeks. Charles?
Yep.
Is it 49? I think.
I lost track. 40-some weeks.
I believe
it's
49.
We've had a new Star Trek episode every Thursday night for almost a full year. Almost. And this is the
first night. August last year.
Yeah,
except for one Thursday.
So, and of course, if they didn't overlap, Picard with Discovery and Strange New Worlds with Picard, then we wouldn't be having no Star Trek. But that's not my decision to make. But the reason why I play the Lower Decks theme song is because Star Trek Lower Decks will premiere on Thursday, August 25th. That's right, August 25th. Exclusively on Paramount Plus in the U.S. Following the premiere, the remaining 9 episodes of the 10-episode-long season will be available to stream weekly on Thursdays on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus is promising shocking resolution to the cliffhanger that capped off Season 2 last October. The crew of the USS Cerritos will be tested in hilarious ways they could never imagine, which may or may not have something to do with the consequences of stealing the ship. Trekkers who prefer live-action shows will need to remain patient, though, as the likes of Star Trek Picard and Star Trek Discovery aren't expected to return until 2023. Now, they did release a little brief teaser trailer for Season 3, which I'm going to play for you right now.
Captain Freeman, you're under arrest for the destruction of Pakled Planet.
Hey, let her go!
That is for a tribunal to decide.
You don't get it. She's your captain, but she's my mom. I have to do something before it's too late.
It would be illogical not to.
I don't care what trouble I get in. Same.
I want the trouble. Get into trouble.
All right, let's save the day Lower Deck style.
But we're grounded. Plus, we don't even know where the Cerritos is.
I know where the Cerritos is.
This is for the captain.
Are you stealing the Cerritos?
Whoa, this graphics are mind-blowing!
So if you guys haven't seen the new teaser poster for Season 3, it's Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock. And they're stealing, instead of the Enterprise, the Cerritos. And if you saw The Ready Room, then you've already seen the clip that I'm about to play for you guys. If you haven't, you're in for a treat. So this is the clip that Will Wheaton played on The Ready Room, and I've just entitled this one Boimler and His Raisins because I couldn't think of a better title. So here it is. This is the first clip for Season 3 of Lower Decks, which we're going to see on August 25th.
Oh, God, vineyard flies. I hate being home.
Dude, are you even listening to what I'm telling you? The captain's getting railroaded, man. I have to do something before it's too late.
Well, count me in.
Really? Usually it takes way more convincing.
I'll do anything to get away from these raisins. It's already going to take me a month to get the smell out of my hair.
Hey, Bradward. Want to test the sweetness of my bushel?
Fine, Genevieve. Just give it 43 more sun hours at 21 degrees bricks.
Oh, Okay.
When you said your family had vineyards, I just assumed it was for wine.
Oh, I wish. No, we Boimlers dry grapes. Just dry them and dry them and dry them till they're all shriveled and hopeless and stuck on earth forever.
Bradward, all these varietals are so confusing. Take me to the privacy of the pickery shed and explain them to me.
Come on, Mandolina. Red goes in the red bucket, white in the white. You know that. How do they not see this as a setup? We were nowhere near Packlet Planet when it blew. I mean, she was saving another ship for Kirk's sake.
Okay, we know it doesn't track, but her ship's logs got corrupted by the Lepirian debris field. It makes it look like she's covering something up.
Wait, so they just need our logs? I have logs.
No, we need the official senior staff logs, not like what you had for lunch.
No, no, no. My logs are crazy detailed. Every night I'd listen to the captains and re-record them for my own reference.
What?
Yeah, the official star dates, systems, personnel. It's all in there stored by my bunk.
Oh my god, Boimler. Wait, that is so nerdy and so clutch right now. So, all we have to do is get your pad, and we clear her name with some surprise evidence. Take that, conservative military court.
But we're grounded. Plus, we don't even know where the Cerritos is.
It's in dry dock?
Yeah, but which dry dock? There's like a bajillion, and besides, they probably only kept on a small skeleton crew of engineers to help dock it, and that's it.
Engineers?
Rutherford!
Okay, August 25th, we'll find out how that all goes down. So, that's going to be our next new Star Trek. Will be Lower Deck Season 3, August 25th. Eric, what you got for us?
Jim, so nerdy and so clutch. We've got Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks nominated for Hollywood Critic Awards. That's right. The Hollywood Critic Association announced for their second annual HCA TV Awards, which included good news for Star Trek Strange New Worlds and Star Trek Lower Decks. The first season of Strange New Worlds was nominated for Best Streaming Drama Series, and it is going up against Loki, Ozark, Pachinko, Severance, Squid Game, Stranger Things, and The Morning Show. The second season of Lower Decks was nominated for Best Streaming Animated Series or TV Movie, and is going up against Arcane, Big Mouth, Central Park, Undone, and What If. That's in the bag, baby. Strange New Worlds is already a winner, as the HCA previously announced they will be giving it their Legacy Award for 2022. Strange New Worlds is the newest series and has been met with an outpouring of love and support from fans and critics alike. Quote, Star Trek Strange New Worlds is the perfect show for our Legacy Award because it encapsulates everything that this award stands for, suggests HCA Vice President Nestor Benacourt. The HCA Legacy Award celebrates a show that has taken a beloved property and, without relying solely on nostalgia, has been able to pay respectful tribute to the past while modernizing it in a fun and meaningful way, delighting original fans and newer generations of devotees. I cannot think of a better description for that show from my standpoint. The Legacy Award will be given out during the HCA TV Awards, which will also announce the winners for all the other categories. The awards are a two-night event taking place on Saturday, August 13th and Sunday, August 14th at the Event Center in Los Angeles, California. Man, I think they got a good chance at a couple of these things because, honestly, up against all that animated stuff, like, that stuff is good. Lower Decks is really good. Now, you know, in terms of best streaming drama series, man, there's a lot of really stiff competition there. So we'll see. We'll see if they can do it. Paul?
Absolutely.
Thanks, Eric. You're not kidding. That's some stiff competition, I'll tell you. It really is.
Yeah.
But it's also a kind of a favorite and a darling right now. So I think they got a shot. I really do. You know, I mean, it's bribery. Who throws the best brunch, right? That's how these things work, right? You know, it's just like, you know, who had the best open bar? Oh, what a shock! They won the award, right? I mean, this is Hollywood, friends.
Oh, Paul.
You know, I'm a realist, dude. It was a science fiction realist. It's not an oxymoron, okay? And I better put on my lobster bib for this next news story, because I'm pretty excited about the fact that Star Trek The Motion Picture Director's Edition, boom, hits 4K Blu-ray physical disc along with the entire
six-film set, okay? I am super excited about this. You're like, well, why would I bother to get that? Because I already have Paramount Plus in my house, and I'm seeing it already streaming in high def. And I would say, oh, whoa, but my friend, au contraire, because that is not the case, brothers and sisters. You may be, all right, when you're watching streaming, right? But there's a big difference between streaming on your TV and a physical disc, and that difference is picture quality, okay? The most important and clear difference between a standard 4K disc and streaming, even on high quality, is picture and sound quality, right? Because they are pushing at a much higher bit rate. Now, you'll see like Apple TV and Disney Plus, they tend to stream at a little bit higher bit rate than their rivals, right? And so they probably are coming out looking about 1.5 times that of a Blu-ray disc, right? Your generic disc. They look really sharp. But even then, half the quality of an Ultra HD 4K disc. So you are going to see these Star Trek movies like you have never seen them before. The official press release says that Paramount Home Entertainment has revealed that the fully restored director's edition of Star Trek The Motion Picture will arrive on 4K and Ultra HD Blu-ray on September 6th. That's just ahead of Star Trek Day 2022 on September 8th. So right on time. So you can celebrate with that sucker in your house. What's more, the film is going to be available in a standard edition and a limited edition collector set entitled The Complete Adventure. Why should I get that complete adventure, you may ask? Well, to top it all off, the Star Trek, the motion, original motion picture collection is also on tap on the 6th, and it's going to bring all six films together in 4K Ultra HD. Now, hopefully you might have seen that coming when the original four-movie collection launched on 4K Blu-ray last year without Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, Jim's favorite movie, and Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. Both those films will be included in the new set. I believe they should also be available separately for saps like me who went ahead and bought the 4K movie collection when it did come out, right? Because otherwise you're going to have a big gap in your collection. Both films will be included with a new set, Star Trek The Motion Picture Director's Edition 4K Ultra HD. You can get it on Amazon. It's about $31 pre-order price. The newly restored definitive vision of the first big screen adventure is presented in 4K Ultra HD, Dolby Vision HDR 10, as well as the coveted Dolby Atmos. Also includes access to a digital copy of the film and the following new and legacy bonus content. It's a long list, so I'm going to blow through it as fast as I can. Audio commentary with David C. Fine, Mike Mattesino, and Darren R. Doctorman. New audio commentary by Robert Wise, director Douglas Trumbull, John Dykstra, Jerry Goldsmith, and Stephen Collins. Text commentary by Michael and Denise Okuda, legendary keepers of the Star Trek flame. Blu-ray disc bonus features include The Human Adventure, an all-new eight-part documentary detailing how the director's edition came to life. It's new! Preparing the Future, How the Remastering Began, A Wise Choice, the storied history of director Robert Wise, Refitting the Enterprise, How the Enterprise Design Shaped Futures, Federation Starships, Sounding Off, Exploring New Dimensions of Sound in Dolby Atmos, see what they did there, V'ger, The Conception and Restoration of Iconic Alien Antagonist. And I have to always tell the story because it's a chance to embarrass my wife. We were playing Star Trek Trivial Pursuit one night, and my wife is a Star Trek fan, but she's not as much of a Star Trek fan as I am. And she got a card, and she read the card, and she was including the movies, and she described what was the nature of the entity V'ger.
V'ger.
V'ger. And we always call it V'ger in my house ever since then.
Love it.
And it's just hilarious. So I couldn't breathe when she did that. I was laughing so hard. More extras include Return to Tomorrow, reaching an already high bar with new CGI effects, a grand theme behind the iconic influential music score that shaped the franchise's future, the grand vision, the legacy and evolving reputation of this classic movie, deleted scenes, effects tests, costume tests, computer display graphics, and additional legacy bonus content, all is new. Damn. However, this is the big deal. This is the big deal, all right? The Star Trek The Motion Picture Director's Edition, something called The Complete Adventure in 4K Ultra HD. It's available at a rather heftier price, about $98 on Amazon.
Yeah.
But this limited edition collector set includes everything I just rattled off above, plus an additional 4K Ultra HD disc available nowhere else. It will never be repressed again, containing the theatrical cut and the first ever widescreen presentation of the special longer version of Star Trek The Motion Picture, originally created for the broadcast television in 1983. This package is unbelievable. This sucker is loaded. This set is presented in deluxe packaging, has exclusive collectibles, including reproductions of original promotional material, a booklet with behind-the-scenes images, stickers, you name it. Ooh. Your friend Paul, the wine guy, Star Trek the enthusiast and 4K addict, has those discs pre-ordered, baby, because I want to see every pockmark on Decker's face. I want to be able to really scrutinize the pores on Aaliyah's dome. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to see every hair on Dr. Leonard McCoy's beard. I want to see all that stuff, and I want to see that crazy long TV version that hasn't been aired since, 1983? It's crazy. This is historic. So if you've been sort of going, wow, it was Prime Day a couple days ago, and I just finally popped for the 4K setup here, I mean the TV and all whatnot, because, it's 2022 and we're stuck at home because another COVID wave's coming, you're going to be watching a lot of TV. And this is the thing you want, man. This is, if you're a Star Trek The Motion Picture fan, you're never going to see it in a more exhaustive presentation than what they put together here for you. Enthusiasts at Paramount have promised something special, and they have delivered. A lot of these companies now, they really kind of go, they don't care, they'll never know the difference. But at Paramount, they have a different mindset, and they definitely acknowledge the fact that Star Trek is one of their crown jewels. And when they put something like this together, it's a legacy historical document. So fans, you are in for a treat. And speaking of history, Charles, Vegas Charles, baby, what kind of history are you going to tell me about?
Oh, this is a little bit closer to my heart for me. The Smithsonian's work helped Tommy create one of the most accurate replicas of the Star Trek USS Enterprise. One of the highlights of visiting the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum for Star Trek fans is seeing the original on-screen model of USS Enterprise on display there. But all the restoration work that went into the model 6 years ago can now benefit private collectors, as Tommy has created a remarkably detailed replica of the ship based on the original screen and used model. After a stint in the museum gift shop in 2004, the museum finally started a full restoration of the USS Enterprise model in its original paint and detailing, and in 2016 went on permanent display again alongside in the National Air and Space Museum's other iconic exhibits. Tommy has announced a limited edition 350 scale die-cast replica of NCC 1701 that promises to stand out for the rest in terms of accuracy. A 34-inch replica is based on all the restoration in the 11-foot model currently on display in the Smithsonian, and Garrett Kerr, widely considered the ultimate authority on the original series model, has also worked on the restoration efforts for six years ago. Collaboration with Tommy's own designers to help ensure this replica is accurate as possible. Besides the paint finish that closely matches all the shots of the ship as seen in the original 1966 Star Trek series, Tommy's USS Enterprise includes light-up animated nacelles designed to replicate the original special effects as illuminated hangar bays you can actually look inside. 70 LEDs in and around the ship include navigation lights, a glowing impulse drive, and a saucer section that actually separates from the rest of the hull, with a reconfigured display stand that supports both parts. And the reason I snagged this article from Eric is I've actually seen this model, not in pictures. 2016, I was in Washington, D.C., and made a special trip just to see this model. And in certain times of day, it's like every 2 hours, if you get there at the right time, an engineer comes down and actually lights the ship. I've got videos buried in my phone somewhere. The actual ship, all the lights coming on, the nacelles lighting up. It's just incredibly impressive view of the ship. And if they're using that to do a replica, they're using the right model to make that replica perfect.
Yeah, I haven't. Well, last time I saw it, it was hanging up on the ceiling when
yeah,
I was there.
Me too.
Oh, this is...
Yeah.
This is in
a
case you can walk. It's in a case you walk up right to the glass case. You can look at it and look at the detail. It's
so
right
cool.
there for you to look at.
Nice. Yeah, I think my kids got bored because I was looking at it for like an hour probably. So cool.
You're like, look at the detail.
Oh, I sat there for the 15 minutes they lit that thing up just to look at all the lights that are going off on that thing.
Awesome.
I didn't see that.
Incredible.
Love it.
I think I took like two rolls of film. Yes, that's how long ago. Rolls of film of the Enterprise hanging on the ceiling. So, anyways, guys, you know what a time it is?
Woo,
yep.
Time to move on, baby.
Talk about a quality of mercy. And before we do that, though, I got to set the tone, and we got to hear the captain's log.
Captain's log, stardate 1457.9. The Enterprise is on the edge of the neutral zone, a narrow band of space separating the Romulan Empire from the Federation. A remnant of a treaty from 100 years ago, when a destructive war was waged between our two cultures. Enterprise and the USS Cayuga are here to help the outposts that guard the neutral zone with much-needed retrofitting and supplies.
And here begins our story, and every week, I ask you guys, our Facebook fans, to score each episode on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the best. I collect those scores, and we give them to you here. So, Eric, what did our Facebook fans have to say about A Quality of Mercy?
Well, Jim Brooke Louise Bradley said a 10, absolutely loved it. Strange New Worlds has constantly delivered and is easily the best of any of the new treks. Was a great alternative take on the events of Balance of Tenor. Terror, loved the updated Trek movie uniform Pike War as well. I totally agree, Brooke. Great analysis. Warren Hayes said definitely a great way to close out a great first season. I give it a 9.5 for sure, only because nothing's perfect. Smiley face. Thanks, Warren. Top fan Tarai Lynch said 10, triple bang after that. It brought me a tear to my eyes when Pike realizes the sacrifice that must be made. Also, Scotty. I know, I love it, Tarai. Thank you so much. Gordon Walker, 9.99. The only way it could have been better was if we saw the, quote, Scottish accent. Spoiler alert, thank you. Top fan Dorada Puto said 9. My favorite episode of Strange New Worlds by far. I had been terrified that they'd seek to vilify my favorite character, especially after what they did with Sam. So I was very tense when James Kirk appeared, but overall his appearance was acceptable. Pike was finally doing a captain job aside from cooking and fraternizing. I also like the main framing plot, although it has at least one implication, possibly two, I don't care for. Ooh, we should talk about those. Thank you, Dorada. Top fan Daniel David. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Shannon, you're on board here in a minute. Top fan Daniel Davis said 10 plus, a little contemplative emoji in all times. But this one, the non-emergence of the Enterprise crew under Kirk's leadership has cosmic negative repercussions. Live long and prosper. Sandy Corby says 10. The series overall has been wonderful. To all those who say Paul Wesley is not Shatner / Kirk, so he is not and never will be. Try giving him a chance to, quote, grow into the part. part of acting is to interpret the character and try to make it your own, the way Ethan Peck has done with Spock. Let's celebrate that Star Trek is alive and kicking. Jorge L. Niveas said 9.9, wanted to see Scotty, but it's okay. Anthony Armstrong said, I never give perfect scores. That said, this one was a 9.97. That is statistically significant, my friends. Thank you, Anthony. Steve Weirgrau said a 9. Also, this is not the Kirk we know. He has never been captain of the Enterprise, nor had he met Bones, Spock, or Scotty. I'm sure future Strange New Worlds Kirk will be closer to Shatner's version, but I don't think we really want him to do an imitation. Interesting. Favorite moment, Scotty's convo with Spock, even if we did not see him, winky face. A fan score, you guys, of 9.7, which really, really knocks it out the park. You might remember that our fans gave the premiere a 9.8, which is the only thing that exceeds this 9.7. Nothing else even comes close. 9.4 for Spock Amok is the next closest for our fans' Strange New World score. So let's talk about it.
Well, before we do that, we have one more quick thing we have to do, and that would be this. Okay, take it away, Eric. I mean, Charles, it's all yours.
Thank you. Another tradition of doing our cadet review, cadet training and review. Let's start off with the obvious one you need to go back and look at. You need to go back and watch Balance of Terror.
Did it.
TOS Season 1, Episode 14.
Or
definitely, ironically, for me, I saw it the Sunday before it aired because somebody else wanted to see the episode. And then I saw this one. It's like, wow, there's a video comparison. Really, it's fascinating. But you got one very similar, Trials and Tribulations from DS9, where they visit the Enterprise, Season 5, Episode 6. Some other what-ifs. Yesterday's Enterprise, TNG, Season 3, Episode 15, where we see the Enterprise C. Tapestry, TNG, Season 6, Episode 15. Picard, what if he didn't have the artificial heart? And then one that got very interesting. My first non-Trek episode, A Quality of Mercy from the Twilight Zone, Season 3, Episode 15. Why do I bring this one up? Well, this one is another time travel one.
Yeah.
They pass through two different dates in World War II. And what makes this episode special? Oh, there's a young actor as a soldier that Leonard Nimoy plays.
Yep.
So we got our Star Trek connection. But Eric, A Quality of Mercy, where does that line come from?
Oh, man, I love that you included that, Charles. That is also a Shakespearean reference, of course. I love that you brought up the Twilight Zone. You mean from which Shakespeare play? Yeah, it's from The Merchant of Venice, I believe.
You are correct, sir.
He's talking, where he's
–
yeah.
Correct.
It's Porsche's does that and includes that in one of his speeches. So, but the Twilight Zone episode, I didn't even realize, I've seen the old Twilight Zone and I've seen it over and over again. But when I saw your notes on this one, I was like, ooh, I got to go back and watch that one again. And it was so fun that it also had a Star Trek connection. So congrats on finding that one.
Oh, it was a fast, I went and watched it today. And that was an interesting episode. I'd forgotten that episode.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, me too.
It had ties in this episode.
It's not one of those first season episodes that you always remember about the Twilight Zone. It's like later on, so you got to kind of dig a little deeper to remember that one.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to talk about the episode. Yep. We're going to do something a little bit different here. I want to set the pace because we're running out of time here. So I'm just going to play a couple of clips that I to get you guys in the mood to talk about it. So the first one I want to play for you guys, obviously, is a clip entitled I Am You.
But there is something you should know about the future.
You'll figure out how to say it. Trust me.
Who the hell are you?
I thought that would have been obvious. I'm you.
Space. The final frontier.
Yes.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission. To explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life. And new civilizations. To boldly go where no one has gone before.
Yeah, I had to play the intro for you guys because we've never played it before, and this is the perfect time to play it. Yeah.
I love it.
I want because it was perfect. It sets off the whole mood of this episode perfect. So I wanted to play that one for you to get you kind of in the mood, all right? And the next one I want to play for you guys, this is a really good one, and I entitled this one The Boogeyman.
On lightly sauté. And it transforms from leftovers into something new.
Well, like what we're doing to these outposts.
Not as tasty, though.
Hearing rumors the Romulans are developing new weapons.
The Romulans are the boogeymen. No one's ever seen one. Nobody even knows what they look like. And yet, they get blamed for a lot of things around here.
I'm actually their fault.
You know? I think I missed the beard.
Yeah, I felt like it belonged to a different era of Captain.
But that's what you were going for, man out of time.
Man out of time. I wonder why they put that line in there. Interesting. Mm-hmm. The next clip that I want to throw at you guys, I think you're going to know why I picked it.
Captain, can you come to the bridge? There is something you should see.
There's a comet ahead. And its trail is reflecting a signal on an unused EM frequency.
It is encoded, Mr. Spock is trying to decipher, but we think it might be from the enemy ship.
They cut off transmission, but we managed to make a copy. I think it's a feed from their bridge, sir.
So we're finally going to see what the Romulans look like.
Put it on screen, please, Mr. Spock.
Podcast in the past, you know why I picked that particular clip, and there's the reason right there. I got another quick that I picked for you guys.
Yeah.
I would be remiss as the host if I didn't play this.
Try it now.
Aye, that's the one. This is where the auto repair was getting hung up. Pretty fused.
I do not need to remind you that we have less than 2 hours to restore phaser control to working order.
I'm an engineer, not a medical worker, Mr. Spock.
And no, that's not Hemmer that's talking to Mr. Spock, by the way. So, yeah, I had to get that one in there for you guys. Something to talk about. And another clip I got for you guys here called Kirk versus Pike.
Captain Pike, we need to talk now. You flinched. You deliberated, and we lost.
We fired, Captain, and we were fired upon. That's why you're still here.
From the start, you wanted to cripple them, not take them out.
We may have different points of view, but do not question my combat readiness.
Captain. I'm saying caution means you're not going to put everything you have into the punch. And that's a good way to lose, because your enemy will see that and act accordingly.
All this because of a second's delay?
Tell me I'm wrong, Captain, and I will back down.
If you're saying you're more willing to take risks than I am, I don't disagree. And let me remind you that you're saying that on my ship after yours has been destroyed.
Fair. I'm just saying, I underestimated him. I'm not going to do it again.
So I had a couple other clips, but we're running quick on time here, so I'm going to jump to one more that I think gets overlooked a lot in this episode, and that would be called Una.
Captain Patel. I didn't think we'd be seeing each other so soon.
I know, Captain. And for the record, I'm sorry about this.
Well, what the hell is going on?
Under Starfleet Code of Conduct 587.63, I am arresting Commander Una Chin Riley for violations of our anti-genetic modification directive. She's an Illyrian, Chris.
I don't care what she is. She's
I don't like it either, but I have orders. Captain!
Don't. I've known this might happen for years.
I didn't ask for this job. I really am sorry.
So am I. Because this isn't over.
All right, so I had a couple other clips that I really, really, really liked, and yeah, I just don't have time to play them because we're running short on time. One of the other clips I wanted to play for you guys was the first time in this timeline that Captain Kirk meets Mr. Spock. Of course, he's on the bridge of the Farragut, and Spock is on the bridge of the Enterprise. And another clip that I wanted to play for you guys was at the end when Captain Kirk walks in and Pike says, "Tell me about yourself." And he sits down and starts talking, and the first thing he says is, "My father was the captain of the USS Kelvin." And I wanted to play that because I thought that was great to finally tie the Kelvin timeline, you know, into the Prime timeline. I thought that was a great little nod. But we have so much to talk about here. So why don't we start off? Let's see. Who wants to start off here? Eric, Paul, Charles, David, Shannon. How about we let the ladies kick this one off? You want to start us off, Shannon? So what did you think about the
episode? I think I know what the person. Well, first off, I will give it 9.9. Because you can't, yeah, as we said before, you can't get a perfect one, but I really liked it. But the person who made a comment about the fact they thought it wasn't Pike-ish or something else going on, I think it's because in this other timeline, he's with another officer. So, you know, that's a Kirk thing where he sleeps with everybody. I don't think Pike sleeps with everybody. So he goes from his girlfriend to a few years later, he's got another girlfriend. You know, who is actually, you know, the Khan descendant. So it's like, okay, that doesn't even make any sense in like 3 years. But, you know, we don't know what happened in those 3 years either. So.
No.
Or 10 years. How long is it before he dies?
I think it was seven.
Seven, okay, sorry. No, 7 years. Obviously, her personality changed, but yeah, so because number one's not there, she becomes more friendly and I don't know. Leaves with him. I think that was the part the other person was talking about, because that's just not, doesn't seem like Pike to me.
Yeah, it feels a little more like Kirk-ish, right?
Right, that's what I was thinking, because Kirk, that would not even be a surprise. You know?
Yeah.
I can't see Pike just jumping in bed with somebody else. So.
And it's too bad they brought that in. Like, I will totally agree with you, Shannon, because I feel like that's out of character, but, like, is that just Pike trying to, like, enjoy the time he has left? Is that his like one guilty pleasure because all he's thinking about is that? I don't know. I'm trying to justify something I think is unjustifiable ultimately, but
I just think that's not him. That's not his character at all. So
yeah,
but the rest of it I thought was excellent and I really enjoyed it. And I was watching a second time right before he came on, but I didn't get the whole second time watched through because I've been busy. But I thought it was my favorite episode other than the very end of it, obviously.
They took Una away, but we knew that was going to happen. We knew that would
happen. Well, she had to go some point. Yeah.
Yep. We knew. But she'll be back.
Yeah.
She's definitely going to be back. And, all right, Charles, why don't we swing on over to you? What did you think about it?
Well, let's start off with the fact of the text I picked up from somebody as Nate started to watch the episode, as he had to pause the tape, to text me and says, "Monster Maroons."
Mm-hmm.
And I just say the Maroons, and it's like, wow, you knew right away something was going on. He's like, wait a minute. Pike should have never worn the Maroons. And to see the Maroons, just, yes, they did adjust them a little bit for the new time era. They adjust the shoulders a little bit to match the new uniforms. But to see him in that classic look, those Maroons just look very sharp. Oh, down the line. I just thought about something. The fact is, something unique, the only thing we'd ever thought about. Pike serving leftovers. You mean they actually reuse their food? They don't just sit there and break it back down.
Charles, I'm so excited. I was just going to say, I'm so excited you brought that up, because I totally thought about that, because I thought about what happens to Starfleet food if you don't finish your plate typically. Do you throw it out and it gets reconstituted? Does it get saved and put into leftovers? And at least in terms of like, yeah, go ahead.
We have a refrigerator?
Yeah, right. And at least in terms of Pike, like, his whole je ne sais quoi is that he gathers people by cooking, right? So I love the fact that he's got this, like, whole leftover thing. Sorry, Charles, to break in, but I just wanted to say one of my favorite, like, parts of this episode was, like, Pike and the leftovers.
And the whole idea of leftovers is not a literal thing.
Yes.
I mean, it's basically it's a subtext in the dialogue to talk about the very nature of this episode and what they're doing. Mm. Right, they're not talking about the what Battelle says about the base. What's leftovers into something new? That's what they just did with this idea of taking an old episode and reinventing it in a new and entertaining way. Leftovers reference. That's why it's in there, pinging off of what as Eric's is saying. That's the nature of Pike, because he's an old school guy. Watches 100-year-old movies on a black and white TV set. He actually makes food. He doesn't use a replicator. So I mean, it's clever and well done.
Absolutely. Well, we talk about the fact of going to Admiral Vance's comment in Discovery in the future, where they rematter everything, putting waste. So it's like, yeah, you kind of wonder what we do with food at this time period. And it's like, somebody actually uses leftovers. Wow. And you're right, Paul. I hadn't thought about the fact that we're kind of reusing this episode in a way, but it's an interesting way of doing it. Okay.
Yeah, the dialogue is like a wink to the audience there, really.
Totally.
But people kind of talk about Kirk, and that James Kirk wasn't quite James T. Kirk. And I think in this episode, he's not meant to be. I think I look at it as this is a Kirk that stayed in the Farragut. He never got the crew from Enterprise. He never got that motion to kind of work with that crew and become friends with. We don't know who his doctor is. We know he doesn't have a connection with Scotty. He doesn't have any connection with Spock. So chances are he doesn't have the connection with Bones. He doesn't have those tie-ins that he's got in the Prime universe in the proper
timeline.
But
Charles, I think that's perfect, because the original Star Trek was always based on the triad, where you had Kirk in the middle, And you had the emotionalism of McCoy on one side, and then you had the logic of Spock on the other side, and they tempered Kirk in the middle. And that helped to make him into the captain he becomes. What happens to that captain if you take those things away? Is he
exactly.
still...
He's not the same captain. He's a slightly different person. So I kind of like how they change Kirk a little bit in this sense. But that also fact that he sits there and hugs his brother on board ship. Well, we never got that on there because his brother left Starfleet and moved to another planet with the family. He wasn't still on board. So you see a lot
exactly.
of how things changed because Pike stuck around. And I think one of the scenes that I think really caught me and put a smile on my face was at the end where Pike is talking to Spock. And Spock's like, he understands what's happened and the fact that, well, Pike has to give up his life for somebody else. And Spock's like, what, somebody we know? Yes. And I think Spock realizes it's him. That Spock is important in the timeline. And that we're going to lose Spock because we kept Pike. And Spock is like, I don't know why, but I need to thank you. And I thought that was really an interesting spot because we don't think about the fact of the importance Spock has in the future. But what he does with Star Trek II, what he does with Star Trek IV,
Charles, that as different as Kirk was, did you notice how Ethan Peck played this Spock different than he plays him on Strange New Worlds?
Well, Ethan talks about how he has it difficult to play the part. And I think he realized suddenly in this case, he knew how to play Spock. Because
exactly.
he can model himself over the Spock from the original episode. He was able to make himself more like Spock, like Leonard Nimoy, because he could replicate and try doing what Nimoy did.
Yep, exactly.
I also love the point that he uses the Pike says, do the mind meld. Let's not worry about medically. Let's try to mind them. See what you see with what's going with me. And I thought that gave the fact that Spock realized there was an issue and why there was a problem.
So overall, what would you score this episode overall?
I think I'm going with about where the fans were, and I think about where I did some of the season. I think I'll go with a 9.8.
9.8, that's respectable. How about you, David?
Hey, yeah. Oh, man. This episode is definitely one of the best ones out there. First of all, I kind of wanted to actually mention a couple things. Did you guys notice when they found who the Romulan looked like for the very first time, and Ortega's turned, and they shined that light in her eye like they did in the original episode?
That was awesome. Absolutely
yeah, so,
awesome.
Yeah.
Also, there was another little one, too, that I was trying to say. But, oh, well, anyways, overall, yeah, I totally liked this episode. I liked the fact that it wasn't technically a time travel episode. It was more of a conscious time travel episode. A what?
What if?
A what if, yeah. So I thought that was a pretty cool twist. Other than that, yeah, I'm liking every little bits and pieces of this thing that you guys all talked about, and I definitely give this one, oh man, if I could go higher than 10. how about this? I'm going to give it a golden 10. How about that?
A golden 10, I like that. 10 chocolate nuts.
Yes. This one's definitely my favorite episode of the whole thing.
All right. How about you, Paul? You got anything you want to add that we haven't touched on?
Yeah, I'd rather talk about the way it was written, you know, and the fact that how well they were able to incorporating the dialogue and the moods of the original Balance of Terror episode, right? It was really interesting the way they chose to focus on Eric Ortegas as the stand-in for Lieutenant Stiles, as like the person who has the kind of, you know, reactionary, racist reaction when she sees that the Vulcans look like the Romulans. I thought that was extremely interesting because she's normally just like so good-natured and loves everybody,
right?
And you're a good buddy.
Weird.
And all of a sudden she's just like, you know, she's ready to, you know, get the pitchfork and the torches for Spock, right? It was a really interesting dynamic there to kind of imply not just that things are different, not just that Kirk never got that command, but it's almost kind of implying that there's a little bit of a darker tone to this reality in terms of what happened to people, that perhaps they didn't, you know, soften or end up in the direction that they should have. So I thought that was really interesting. I thought this was a tremendously satisfying episode. I went and I actually gave it a 10 for my rating, just because it was so inventive. And I felt that the whole, the opening sequence to have, you know, Admiral Pike come visit himself like that was a standout scene on a par with some of the best next-gen moments, I thought, in terms of, like, you know, just really establishing as soon as you see the uniform, you know what this means. And it was just great. Really, really well done. There were a lot of nice grace notes to the original Balance of Terror episode. You know, you're never going to replace Mark Leonard. Sorry. But this guy was great, did a really good job. You know, again, I just thought the writing was super strong here, with little things like the reference of Leftovers to self-referential stuff, to the, you know, rich character development, nice things like making the commander of the outpost have a Middle Eastern descendant, you know, in terms of his lineage for his family. I thought that was really great. Again, that's, you know, Paramount Plus being super mindful of being inclusive at all times, very deliberately, which I thought was great. So a really strong episode, really faithful to the spirit of the original series. After the last couple episodes, I wasn't as high on this one. Really came through for me, and did a great job, despite the fact that I got to say, I'm not a fan of yet. I mean, we'll see, but I'm not digging the fact that they cast Jim Carrey as James T. Kirk. I don't think that worked. The guy looks like if, you know, he'd fall over in a high wind. I mean, it's just no one wants an imitation of Shatner. Let me be clear. Nobody wants that, right? But this man doesn't seem like he's got the gravitas and the charisma of a Kirk. I think he's more, the T is more Timothy than Tiberius, right? He seems like some kind of ineffectual little guy. And I'm like, you know, maybe that's part of the thing too. Maybe that's what they're saying is because things were different and because of influences and because there's the looming large shadow of Pike, maybe Kirk didn't really grow into the, you know, heroic, you know, commanding presence that we know. He stayed this little guy who was basically seems like he would be the guy that Finnegan beat up at the Academy, not the guy who would bluff, you know, with Corbomite and, you know, take on the Klingons. He didn't seem like that kind of James T. Kirk at all to me. So not real convinced that that's the casting I want to see legacy-wise. I don't think Paul Wesley should plan on his own series anytime soon. I don't think that's happening. But we'll see. I could be wrong. I'm wrong all. I just don't like to admit it. But it's still a classic episode, a wonderful – this has been a unique series. This has been a really – for a lot of folks, a super, super breath of fresh air for a lot of the legacy – original series fans who not dug some of the other, I don't count myself among them. I love all the new Paramount Plus shows quite a bit. Discovery especially. But there's been a lot of fans who've just been really, like, you know, felt neglected, and they felt that they didn't have something they could relate to. The older fans in particular, I think a lot of fans like that. And this really brought a lot of people back and kind of, you know, created seats for everyone at the table again and brought a lot of folks back. And to have them end strongly, like, this is
absolutely
just marvelous, marvelous that they did that. And I've read a couple of interviews with cast members, and the thing that's interesting about them is they all have been saying the same thing. They're like, wait till you see the scripts for season two. Season two is wrapped, and apparently the actors are super high on the writing that's going into the season that's coming next year. They're really excited about it, feel that that's where they really got their sea legs and the wind in their sails. So I'm super excited about that. Kudos to everyone on the show. Magnificent job, and a great way to end the first season of this, legacy storage show. I'm thrilled that they pulled it off.
And Eric, with that, we turn to you.
Not too much more to say. I'll just say that I'm very interested in the handing off of all the engineers as we go here. Obviously we got a what if scenario here. So maybe we got Scotty 7 years in the future, a little earlier than we would normally have gone. I'm wondering what happens post Hemmer. I also feel like this episode, like, one of the things in Star Trek that bugs me is when they play fast and loose with the mind meld. To me, that is one of the most intimate things that two people can do. And so when a mind meld is kind of like, yeah, we're just going to mind meld, doink, there it is. It always bugs me just a little bit. So I couldn't go quite 10 on this one. I'm also a little frustrated by the fact that Pike can't find his way out of his destiny, I guess. And so Strange New World seems to be telling the story that when you have a destiny, it is a thing and you cannot avoid it. And so therefore, there it is, and just embrace it and go for it. So I'm not entirely sure how I feel about that. Still, all of those negative things being said, I just want to say that I did rate this episode about a 9.3. I thought it was really, really excellent. It just, like, it does leave some questions for me that don't quite make it a 10. So there you go. 9.3 from me.
Well, first of all, I liked how they tied it into Discovery with the Klingon time crystals. You know, there you have it. You know, no slingshotting around the sun stuff. Klingon time crystal from Star Trek Discovery. Boom, done. End of story. So that was cool. But the monks on Borath told him that once he touched the crystal and accepted his fate, it could not be altered. They told him that when he did it, and he accepted the consequences and agreed to it. So there he knew it, and there you have it. So, all right, I really love the music. That's why I played that clip. The homage to the music in the original was phenomenal. We never got to see Outpost 4. We did in this episode. Loved it. The Romulan Armada. Wow. They have more than one ship. Who knew?
And some cool looking ones that at least I haven't seen before, too.
Yeah.
Add those to Star Trek Attack Wing.
Yeah.
I thought they were so cool. We get to see the Praetor. Who knew? All right. That was awesome, too. They should have had James Frayne play the Romulan commander, I thought, because who played Sarek in TOS played the Romulan commander in Balance of Terror. They should have had James Frayne, who played Sarek at Discovery, play the Romulan commander in this episode. That would have been a great homage, not a negative. I'm just saying that I would have jumped off the couch three times if they did that. That
well,
was awesome.
and Jim, I will say that, like, okay, so this guy was okay. Did you notice that they were all northern Romulans with the?
I was going to say that they grew ridges. I talked to Charles about
They were
that
northern.
In texting that they grew ridges. I give a crap. I really honestly.
But the card sets the stage for that, so we're legit in terms of canon.
Yeah, I mean they just did that, and that's fine. You know, that it is what it is. But Uhura was wearing green hoop earrings. Did anyone notice that?
And her and the communication device.
Yes. They weren't as pronounced hoop earrings as Nichelle wore, but they were still green hoop earrings like she wore in that episode. I thought that was that they paid really good attention to that detail. That just, I was like, wow, that's awesome. The scene where they find out that Romulans look like Spock, the way the camera starts on Ortegas and goes dun, 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 dun. And each person turns their head in unison as the camera goes around, zooms in on Spock, and he gives you the eyebrow. Oh, my God. Right out of the episode.
It's true, but they don't give us the best line from that episode, which is the there's no place for bigotry on our bridge thing, which I guess is in like just implied. But to me, that's one of the absolute best lines ever from Balance of Terror.
Well, that's because, I think it was Paul that said that Ortegas plays the character of Stiles in this particular version.
Right.
And
it's a little weird. Yeah.
It's a little different.
To have her actually play that character, it's a little weird.
A little bit weird. So I don't know how they could have fit that in there without altering this character completely. But I did like the way they did that scene. It was perfectly recreated from the Balance of Terror. Also, the beginning when the Romulans blow up the outpost and Hansen's, can you see it? Can you see my smashed outpost?
And the fire's in the foreground. It's like perfect.
It's absolutely just mind-blowing.
Which is why I loved it so much.
It was perfect. The Romulan bird of how did they know it was a bird of prey? They never said the name of the ship ever, and they kept referring to it as a Romulan bird of prey. But listen,
in the original series, Stiles says that they have a bird of prey painted on the hull, so they do know that much from back 100 years ago.
It's just no one ever said it. They just started calling it that. I was like, that's a bit weird, but again, just minor.
Little nitpick thing.
The ship.
Have you guys noticed when?
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, have you guys noticed that when Kirk was on the Farragut and he was warping to the outpost, did you guys notice how fast he said they were going?
He said they pushed warp 9 as far hard long as they could. I think he said.
Yeah, I thought they couldn't go warp that fast during that time, because even Kirk couldn't achieve warp 7 for a lot of the time. I thought, wasn't that a thing?
Totally agree with you, David. You have to realize that warp is one of those things that in TOS is a bit malleable, because we definitely have episodes where, you know, people are going warp 14. We definitely have episodes where the Enterprise can't go faster than warp 7. And then we sort of like, it settles down a little bit in TNG where they make 10 the upper limit, but you are 100% right. The speed, like the cannon speed, the warp cannon speed for the Enterprise is a little bit malleable. I like to think that it's not warp 9, because the whole thing about the Enterprise D was that ship could actually maintain like warp 9.9 longer amounts of time. It was supposed to have some badass engines compared to the older versions. So I don't want to take anything away from the Enterprise D. I think you're right. I think you're totally right.
That's just one thing I wanted to get out of the way.
I thought the Romulan bird of prey looked outstanding. Absolutely. And when they fired the plasma weapon, you could see the energy build up. It was just
top-notch. It looked just like Balance of Terror. It was awesome.
It looked just outstanding. I was very, very impressed. The USS Farragut. Now, okay, were you guys under the impression that that was a Constitution-class ship? Because we never saw it, but the only ships we ever saw on TOS were other Constitution-class ships. But the Farragut clearly was not a Constitution-class ship. Which I didn't bother me, but some fans on a lot of other pages were complaining about that. But
I
thought,
man,
the pair
like,
got...
Yeah, I mean, the first time
cool.
we ever... that. So, Jim, the truth is that the first time we ever actually see a USS Farragut on screen is actually in TNG, and it's a Nebula-class vehicle. So, like, you know, it depends on where you're taking your canon from. Are you taking it from Star Trek Online? Are you taking it from Strange New Worlds? Are you taking it from the books? The Farragut, to me, could be one of at least three different classes.
Well, either way,
well, they always
I thought
use the
it was
same
cool.
name over and over.
They do.
Yeah.
They use it over and over again. There's at least three different Farraguts out there.
So I thought the Farragut was cool, actually. So I liked
yeah.
that. And I thought that when remember in the original one when Kirk says if only we could squeeze off one phaser shot because the plasma could be ignited by a phaser, but they didn't have phasers, so they couldn't do it. In this one, the Enterprise is firing their phasers, and it's not igniting the plasma. I was like, okay, not a biggie, but they missed that one. But that being said, I loved this episode. Absolutely just loved it. It was – oh, and Una, let's not forget about Una. At the end of the episode, Una gets taken away for being on Illyrium. And she goes to
prison.
I know.
So we start the series looking for Una, and we end the series looking for Una.
Yep. So Una's gone. And where was he? Captain Kirk. So I didn't want to see him play William Shatner. I just didn't want to see that. And as I said to Charles, I think that this is a version of Kirk that hasn't had the experience of Spock and McCoy to learn from, because face it, we're all a sum of our parts. And so, you know, when you have Kirk there and you have him surrounded by the crew, I've said it on the show, you know, we are the crew of Trek Talking. And when you change any ingredient in that stew, it changes everything. So I'm thinking that Paul Wesley's Kirk, like Charles said, didn't have the knowledge of Spock, the humanitarianism of McCoy, you know, the engineering prowess of Scotty, you know, to lean on. He learned from a different crew, hence a different character. I think next time we see him, he may be more along the lines of the Kirk that everybody was expecting. So I didn't really. So at any rate, I gave this episode a 10 down the line. Absolutely loved it. So that's my take on it. Anybody want to add anything before we wrap things up?
I do. I got one little nitpick.
okay.
Why are they firing phasers like Star Wars? What happened? I thought it was supposed to be a streamline of laser beams.
No, so you got to go back, David, because in the original series, that is the way that phasers were done, and it wasn't until Next Generation that they became the kind of constant stream of energy that comes off of the saucer there. So the pew-pew is totally consistent with TOS.
Really?
In fact, it's
a stream of line with
the
even TOS.
If you look at them firing in TOS and they said they're firing phasers,
yep.
It actually looks like they're firing photon torpedoes.
Yep, and it comes
they
from that little dome on the bottom of the saucer. Yep, totally.
Hmm.
Yeah, and Spock, Spock is the reason that the whole thing has to happen because Spock dies, and we can't have Spock die because if Spock dies, that changes all of Star Trek as we know it. So, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
So at any rate,
one thing I thought was funny was one comment I heard is somebody who is a bigger Lower Decks fan said, hey, but we thought of the idea first. Strange New Worlds is going to have to go find Una while Lower Decks is trying to find the captain. Because both
yep.
got taken away.
Interesting.
So I want to say thank you so much to our very own Shannon. We haven't heard from Shannon in a while, but it's great to hear from Shannon. And she's always welcome to call, by the way. And we got to say thank you to our very own Ray, calling from the Bronx. Represent, brother. We really love to hear from you, Ray. And I also want to say thank you to Anna, who's in Portland listening to us tonight. So thank you so much to Anna for tuning in and listening. We appreciate that greatly. And
always
thank you so
pleasure.
Much. For,
thank you.
Yeah, we love to have you with us. Absolutely. And we definitely got to say thank you so much to our very own David, the donut guy, for hanging out with us tonight.
Hey.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome. It was fun.
And, of course, we can't forget our very own Charles. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight, Charles.
Oh, thank you. And, by the way, as always, Nate asks, the group score was a 9.8.
Which is pretty much close
above
to
the
fans.
We were above
right.
the fans.
That's cool. And, of course, thank you to Paul, the wine guy, for sharing his insights with us. Thank you so much, Paul. And, of course, the birthday boy himself. Thank you for hanging out with us. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. I had a great time.
And it was a lot of fun, as always. Next week, we're going to be talking about Star Trek fan films. I forgot the title of the fan film, but Joshua Michael Irwin's going to be with us. And we're going to be talking about their new fan film, which is a Vulcan-based fan film, and I can't recall the name. And we're also going to have Mike with us from Fandom Fest, which we played a commercial for a couple of times on this podcast, talking about that awesome convention. That'll be next Thursday. And make sure you go over to our Facebook page, Trek Talk It and Beyond, and give us a like, give us a follow, tell us where you're from. And as always, guys, please be good to each other and stay safe. Star Trek fans are the best fans. You better believe that. Hailing frequencies are closed. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Live long and prosper.
Good night.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.
Mm-hmm.